Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, we're back here on Brand Talks. Go brand yourself. The only show on radio where branding gets practical and personal. Heard exclusively on WVOX. 1460 on your AM dial. So you're out of work, but you got a little bit of a nest egg, or you've been furloughed, and you're thinking about a franchise. What do you do? What do you do? Well, we have today as my guest not only the best franchise expert in the nation, but a dear friend. A wonderful brand. It's with great pleasure that I introduce to you Professor Marty McDermott. Welcome to Brand Talk. And let me not forget this. He is the president of Franchise Interviews. Sorry about that, Marty. Welcome to Brand Talk.
Hi, Dr. Tantillo. How are you? Wow, that was a great introduction.
Well, it's all true. Just ask your wife. And ask me, and there you have it.
Well, I tell you, I think my wife fell in love with you after hearing that last show.
Oh,
so I said, I better be a little worried.
Well, I'm going to have to do pasta over at the McDermott Clan House in Pennsylvania one of these days.
I would love that. That would be fantastic.
And you know, despite this thing about the kid-free zone, on airplanes, I love kids, so I don't know what your age of your kids are. You know, I'm not like W.C. Fields, a man who hates dogs and
go.
Kids can't be all bad. But anyway, so let me ask you, what kind of a personality, okay, well, now since we're on Brand Talk here on WVOX, what kind of a personality brand is best suited for a franchise?
Wow. It's a great question, John. It's, you know, one of the many reasons I love your show is that franchising is it's very much related to branding, isn't it? There's two things that you typically get when you buy a franchise, and one of them is a brand, you know, which is certainly your area of expertise, and the second thing is a system. The challenge in buying a franchise, Dr. Tantillo, is that, you know, today there's over 2,500 brands to choose from in 80 different industries. So the first question is, like, you know, where do you even begin?
Right,
you know?
Right.
I mean, it's a little overwhelming. When I got into franchising, I think I got involved in franchising, it was like sometime around 1998, 1999. I think there was about maybe 1,400 different brands to choose from. And here we are today in 2013, and there's 2,500 brands to choose from. So
wow.
I think it makes it complicated for the aspiring. I call them a franchrepreneurs.
Right.
Someone who's like an entrepreneur looking to buy a franchise. And, you know, some of these brands are very famous names, like McDonald's, who you've mentioned on numerous occasions. We have Subway. I just found out, Dr. Tantillo, Subway's up to about 40,000 units now. If you can imagine that.
Oh, yeah.
So,
a great brand. I eat their sandwiches constantly. They're really,
they're
really good.
They're fantastic,
aren't they? They're very, very good.
I mean, they're really the experts on franchising, I think. And, you know, you have other famous brands. You have your Pizza Hut. You have your Dunkin' Donuts.
Sure.
And then there's some other brand names that are not as well known. You know,
sure.
I've had the opportunity to interview them because there's so many. Like, for example, you have Submarina, which is a sub franchise. And you have Cafe a la Carte, which is a coffee franchise. And
sure.
You have Arizona Pizza. And so you compare Arizona Pizza.
I love that. Well, how is that ever going to sell in New York, Arizona Pizza?
Well, exactly, right? So, you know, it's interesting, you know, when you compare the brand names and you see some are, you know, very famous and some are not so famous. So just because the brand names aren't as popular, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't consider them.
Oh, I agree, because what you want, what as the brand goes, so does your investment go up.
Absolutely.
So that's really the secret. But you know what I want to get into, Marty, and please call me John. I mean, I appreciate that. I appreciate the title, but I'm going to call you Marty, and
absolutely.
You're going to call me John. It's this idea that if I'm a corporate guy, and I found out with my corporate friends that, you know, had been furloughed and they tried to start their own business.
Yeah.
it's not good for them to be entrepreneurs. I think that the perfect, if I could step on your I think former corporate types would do very well as franchisees, better than the run of the mill kind of person, although they're fine, because they know systems and they understand the systems. That when you take an executive out of that, out of Fortune 500 land, they don't know how to do it. Why don't you respond to that?
You're absolutely right. I love what you just said. You know, it's true. Entrepreneurs are typically drawn to franchising, and I think that could be a very bad thing, because entrepreneurs, you know, and I've been studying them, John, for, you know, many years now. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're typically very creative people. You know, I kind of like compare them to like an artist. They like to reinvent the wheel, you know?
Yeah.
And there's a great saying, I don't know if you've ever heard it before, but they say you can't paint the golden arches green. Of course,
I'm going to steal that, Marty.
Steal it, because I love it, and I knew you'd love that when you heard it. You know, of course, mm-hmm. we're referring to, you know, for your listeners, we're referring to McDonald's.
Sure.
You know, but there's probably some nut out there, some nut entrepreneur that thinks that the golden arches will look better in green. And, you know, how much do you think that those golden arches are worth today? I don't know what the price value on those golden arches are, but it's pretty high up there. I agree with what you just said about, you know, people in the business community. I think if you can understand what a system is or a method of doing things, franchising can work very well for you.
Yes. Yeah, well, I have this surrogate son. His name is Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope I'm not going to tell too many tales out of school here, but he has difficulty focusing. He was always an ADD person.
Yeah.
But I think that the rote of a franchise would be so much better for him. And, but although he has this entrepreneurial kind of gene there, for him, at least in the beginning, to learn how to do it. Okay, but on the other hand, the problem is that nobody's going to tell me what I'm going to do it my own way,
right.
Where the corporate guys and gals, they understand the drill.
I agree with you. You know, it's interesting. You know, when we were talking earlier about the different brands, John, you know, I mean, of course, you got your big brands and you got your smaller brands. I found that sometimes with the smaller brands, there's a little more, let's say, flexibility. You know, where as opposed to, you know, with a McDonald's or a Subway, again, both very successful companies, there's not much flexibility with those franchise systems. I mean, there's no room for entrepreneurship or creativity.
Right.
You know,
and you have to go to university.
Exactly.
And you've got to be interviewed. And you don't have to be interviewed. Your family's got to be interviewed.
Exactly.
Nobody realizes this.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, this is no day at the beach. Oh, I'm going to open up a franchise, a McDonald's franchise. Oh, yeah. Good luck.
Absolutely. So, I mean, that situation that you've given, you know, with your surrogate son, I totally agree that there's probably some franchise systems out there that would be a great match for his personality type. You know, you were talking about corporate guys. I got to interview one of the top franchisees for a franchise. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. They're called Liberty Tax franchise. And I think you have them in New York. I mean, H&R Block is, of course, the most popular. But this gentleman, his name was Dan Castellini, and he said something very interesting, because I said, you know, how did you become the most successful franchisee to Liberty Tax? And he said something interesting. He says, I'm not creative. I didn't want to invent anything. All I wanted to do was to follow the system. I just did what they told me to do, and I became the top franchisee.
I love
it. And that's franchising in a nutshell.
It certainly is. Well, let me ask you, Marty, what is the hottest franchises, the brand names, and then I'm going to ask, answer that. What's the hottest franchises these days? And maybe not some brand names that we don't know, and maybe what category they're in.
It's interesting. You know, again, of course, you don't want to hear Subway. I mean, Subway is still actually in the top. I still think that they're in the top 10. Dunkin' Donuts is in there.
McDonald's is
in there, of course. You know, so, of course, your big-name franchises. Entrepreneur has, like, a top 500 that usually come out every year, you know.
Oh.
And, you know, usually do see, you know, a lot of, like, the top names in there. But I don't think that those franchises are certainly for for everyone.
Sure.
You know?
Because they're very, very, very strict and very doctrinaire on their procedures.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. You know. So you know, I'm still a fan of something like these small and growing franchises. I don't know if you know this, John, but Dave Thomas was one of the very first franchises to KFC. I think he was like the second.
Yes, I think I remember seeing that. And let me just get this in. You're listening to WVOX, Brand Talks, Go Brand Yourself. And we have my guest today, Marty McDermott, who is the president of Franchise Interviews. How can we get in touch with you, by the way?
Very easy. Go to www.franchiseinterviews.com.
Isn't that good?
Yeah, very easy, and I think we have about 350 different interviews.
I love it. Okay.
Right now, John. Yeah, so it's a very informative. It's similar to your show. You know, I like to think of it as being educational. When we started,
absolutely,
the show is the teacher in us, right?
It's yes.
We like to teach at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
So,
you know what they always said, with Tantillo, you laugh and learn. So, that's what we like to try to do. But in the last few minutes here, what franchise category is hot?
Wow. You know, I was interviewed back in, I think it was 1999 or 2000, and I got asked the same question, and I was lucky enough to get it right. And I think it still applies today. I still like the senior care industry.
Very interesting.
It
senior
is. When I'm talking about senior care, I'm talking about like more like non-medical.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Yeah. Okay. So my dad who has Parkinson's disease, we had to have someone come in a lot,
sure.
and kind of like spend time with him and help him and things like that. But it's amazing that industry still seems to grow today because people, of course, are living longer.
And there are many of us, that's the baby boomers.
Exactly. They don't want to go to nursing homes.
That's right.
But what's interesting about your question, John, is that there's a lot of like different categories kind of like expanding on the non-medical senior care industry.
Sure.
Like, for example, there's one company I recently interviewed. They're called AmRamp. And what they do is they'll come to your home and they'll create a ramp. Like for example,
I love
like,
it.
Yeah, my dad was having trouble walking, So, I mean, for him to get down the stairs, even if it was two stairs, they'd create this ramp for you. And you just kind of slide down the wheelchair and you're able to, become more portable, and get around from point A to point B. So I'm noticing that there's a lot of new, I guess you could say, subcategories basing themselves off of the non-medical senior care industry. So I still like that industry just because I think you get to do something good and still make a nice amount of money at the same time.
Right.
So I'm still a big fan of that industry. The children's category is still growing, with the mommy and daddy, of course, working today and things
sure,
like that.
Sure, sure. So child
but there's 80 industries out there. And it's your question is the marketing professor in you is really very important. The industry is very critical, and we talk about, the SWOT analysis, don't we,
right.
Looking towards, the opportunities and the...
Could you explain what a SWOT analysis is?
Absolutely. I do this all day.
Right.
SWOT
right.
is strengths,
weaknesses,
opportunities, and threats. So,
right.
What opportunities are present to an industry, and what are some threats that are out there?
Oh, absolutely. You hit on the threats. In branding, you always have to be branding. You always have to be reinventing. You always have to be rebranding yourself because of the changes in the marketplace. People change. And if you don't do that, guess what happens? You lose market share.
Well, the word I stole from you was brand over. I use that word all the time.
Well,
now,
I hope, yes. Oh, don't get me started
word,
about brand
I
over
all
with
the
all
time.
These all these affected people on television. Oh, you need a makeover.
Right.
You don't need a makeover. If you do a makeover in 3 days, you're going to be doing the same stuff.
Exactly.
You can't be. It's a brand over. What is it? Who are you? And based on who you are, then go do it. Go brand yourself. None of this nonsense. It's like them telling me I should wear a straight tie, or I should wear, I shouldn't wear striped shirts.
Exactly.
Or polka dot ties. What the heck do you know about that?
Exactly.
Not you, Marty, but you know what I'm talking about. These people that give, you know, seldom right, never in doubt.
Well, it's very interesting. The story that made such an impression on me, you know, is of course, you know, your famous hat, you know.
Yes.
And to never take that thing off, Ben, because that is part of your character. It's part of your brand. So I remember them even saying once, you listening to one of your shows, saying on an interview, you know, would you take the hat off? And that is not your brand. I wouldn't even recognize you.
Well, right. Well, they wanted to do it but for good reason. They wanted me to be a psychologist, and I'm not a psychologist. And so that was not part of my brand. So
no,
this way
absolutely.
I can get away. And the other thing about, and here we go, you're listening to WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. Marty McDermott, John Tantillo, we're doing Brand Talks, Go Brand Yourself, heard exclusively on WVOX. You know, I'm going to start talking about me, but it's not about me. It's the experiences that I have learned. Don't you do what I've done, and don't make the mistakes that I made. You know, when they tell you you should wear a straight tie because you're going to turn people off, guess what? When I went to that party and all the models said to me, "Where's your bow tie?" I wanted to kill myself.
I love that. It's such a great example. You know, it's interesting too, John. You know, because there's a lot of, you know, big name franchises. I was recently reading that, you know, KFC is doing a lot of rebranding right now. In fact, I can't remember what their new restaurant is called. I think they call it like what is it, KFC 11 or something like that. You know, we know, you and I, you know, we probably know KFC. I still think of it as
Kentucky Fried Chicken, sure.
You know, and it's what the young kids out there, of course, you know, don't
what are
know
you, what are you kidding?
That. Yeah, it's still KFC.
Hey, Dad, what are you kidding?
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, when you buy into a franchise, you know, sometimes you have, you know, some very good marketing experts that, you know, they realize that it is time to do a brand over. We've seen a lot of brand overs with McDonald's over time, haven't we?
Sure, sure.
You know, and I know you've mentioned, you know, a bunch of them on the show. You know, I remember listening to one of your shows where they, you know, they came out with the nutritional content for their menu.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
And I love it. It's terrific.
Yeah.
And that's where the industry is going. And if you don't like it, don't look at it.
Absolutely.
You know, but for guys like me who have heart conditions, you got to worry about stuff like that. And
it's
it will
so
stop
true.
You and prevent you from doing the wrong thing.
It's
I mean,
so
when
true.
I looked at that pretzel burger from one of them, I you know, the salt content alone could kill
know.
You.
Know.
You know,
it's
and
so
I mean,
true.
I love pretzels and I love hamburgers,
yeah.
but
Same
you just
here.
Can't do that. Listen, Marty, it's always great to have you on the show.
Thank
we got to
so
do
much,
this
John.
In
I'm
another
such a
few
big
weeks.
I'm a fan of your show. I love your show, you know, and
well, we love you too,
we're
kiddo.
We're going to have you over the house for macaroni and meatballs.
That's what, and I well, you know what? And before you go, I'm going to say give a shout out to my aunt Pat Spencer, who this past weekend made homemade matakati, or I say matagots. They melted in your mouth. They
were
unbelievable. So anyway,
that's
so
fantastic.
Pat, we'll be over soon. Maybe we'll come on Marty and the family here.
That's true, exactly.
Okay, Marty, thanks
Thank you
again.
Thank you so much, John. You're great. Thank
okay,
you so much.
Thanks again.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. That was Marty McDermott. You gotta go and listen to his interviews on franchising interviews.
Coming up in segment two, we're meeting with the president of the Tilted Kilt and star of Undercover Boss, Ron Lynn. Coming right up on Franchise Interview.
Blog Talk Radio.
Franchise Interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews. Welcome to Franchise Interviews. For over 6 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship. Listen to interviews with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And now, welcome your host, Marty McDermott, and Franchise Interviews.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 8 years, we've been asking the French Fedoras one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show today. We're meeting with the president of the Tilted Kilt, Ron Lynch. And the Tilted Kilt is a Scottish and English-themed sports pub that provides traditional American cuisine. And we're going to talk to Ron about that in just a moment on Franchise Interviews. So stick around, because we have a great show.
Looking for a franchise that delivers? Businesses will always need shipping, and for more than 25 years, loyal customers have depended on Unishippers for reliable savings and exceptional customer service. Unishippers is focused on just one thing: helping small and medium-sized businesses save time and money on all their shipping needs. And as the largest reseller of complete shipping services in the country, we have the buying power to ensure that we succeed. The Unishippers franchise offers low startup costs, no equipment or real estate required because they're not retail, residual income, and a quality of life and work-life balance. For more information on becoming a Unishippers franchisee, go to www.unishippers.com and click Franchise Opportunities, or call Franchise Development at 801-708-5822. That's 801-708-5822.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 8 years, we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today because we're meeting with the president of the Tilted Kilt, Ron Lynch. And the Tilted Kilt is a Scottish and English-themed sports pub that provides traditional American cuisine. Hey, Ron, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Great, thanks.
It's great to have you on the show, Ron. I wanted to begin by letting you know how much I enjoyed watching you on Undercover Boss. I thought you were fantastic. What was that experience for you?
Well, thank you very much. You know, it was probably, well, it created many memories for me, that's for sure, and one of the best things we've ever done for our company, for exposure and everything. But
sure.
I tell you, you know, you're on camera for 11 days, 14-hour days, and from somebody that comes from a field that's not used to that,
right?
You're just tense all the time, and you can't sleep at night thinking, well, what am I going to do tomorrow? What did I say? What did I do?
Right.
You know, my dad always said, you know, Ron, if you keep talking long enough, you're going to eventually say something really stupid, you know? So I always kept ringing in the back of my mind.
I have to tell you, I mean, talking about your dad, I mean, he sounded like, you know, an amazing man, you know, and he had a very big impact on your life, didn't he?
Well, he did, and, you know, my dad thought that I could do anything, and
yeah.
He gave me confidence, and he was an entrepreneur himself, so, you know, I didn't have any other alternative but be an entrepreneur.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I'd like to ask our guest, where are you calling from today, Ron?
I'm calling from Tempe, Arizona. Where
our
corporate offices are.
How's the weather there today?
It's great. It'll be in probably in the mid to high 60s today, sunny. This is the time of year why we all live in Arizona.
I imagine, yeah. Well, we're in eastern Pennsylvania. We're expecting snow here again today, so it's a horrible time of year in Pennsylvania. These 2 months are just awful, you know, getting through the next 2 months. But maybe we could start a little bit about, you know, what you were doing before starting the Tilted Kilt, Ron.
You know, I've been in the franchising business for a long time, and I was working for Slotsky's Deli.
Sure,
and
wow.
I was a franchisee and area developer for Slotsky's Deli for almost 20 years.
That's fantastic. I mean, that's great for you because, I mean, you know, having that, you know, of course, being on that both sides of the fence, Ron, you know, is having that franchisee experience, you know, which, you know, sometimes I guess, you know, it might be difficult for some franchisors to relate sometimes to the franchisees, you know, if they've never actually done it before, you know. So I suspect that experience probably helped you a bit, didn't it?
It does. And when you're talking with franchisees, because let's face it, you know, there's difficult times for everybody, and
right.
everybody fools themselves if there's not. And,
yeah.
and you know, I can talk face-to-face with a franchisee and say, I've been exactly in your shoes. This is what I did. This is why the way I felt, all of that.
Right, exactly. I mean, you were there at the beginning of the history of the Tilted Kilt. You want to talk a little bit about the story? I know you mentioned a little bit on the Undercover Boss, but maybe we could talk a little bit about that.
Right, yeah. You know, I'm not the concept founder. I started the franchise system, but the concept
right.
originated in the Rio Casino in Las Vegas with
yeah.
a gentleman named Mark DiMartino, John Renault, and Shannon Riley. And they had the one store, and I saw it, and I thought that, you know, this is something that's very different, you know, that
right.
is unique and gives you an advantage over the other restaurant people. Because, let's face it, the restaurant business is very, very competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And you need
right.
an edge out there. You need something special. And I discussed that with Mark. I agreed to buy it, and then we later agreed to change our agreement, and that
right.
they are my partners, and they've partnered, and we've been going ever since.
It reminded me a bit, Ron, of the Ray Kroc story, you know, almost like Ray Kroc going into the McDonald's, you know, in San Bernardino, you know, back in the 1950s, and he saw this thing, and he said he recognized that there was this opportunity, and I think I'm suspecting that the same thing happened to you. You saw the big picture of the Tilted Kilt, didn't you?
It did. And, you know, the bones of the company, and maybe no mistake, we operate a little different than they did in the Rio because it is in a casino. But the bones of the concept was there, the costume, the name, the feel, the vibe, the fun. It was all there.
That's fantastic. Out here in Pennsylvania, I mean, you actually see billboards for the Tilted Kilt. I mean, you'd be very proud, like, driving down the highways, you know, and you actually see some of the big billboards. So you have a strong brand name out here in this part of the country. But for our listeners who are pretty much spread throughout the United States, if anyone is unfamiliar, how do you describe the Tilted Kilt to people, Ron?
You know, we're a contemporary version of the Scottish, Irish, English pub of old. You know,
mm-hmm.
we don't pretend that we're authentic, although
right.
we're the second most selling, we sell the second most amounts of Guinness in the country.
Wow.
But we have funny limericks on the wall. We have oddities that could be from, an old kilt up there to
right.
a Monty Python poster, you know. So it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek kind of thing. But our roots go back to that public house, and you know, pub stands for public house, which was really
right.
somebody's home. And we try to engender that into all of our franchisees, that you've got to treat your guests as if they're coming into your home. We have the big, long captain's table where
yeah.
people can come in and sit with a group and watch the game, talk about the
right.
game, just like they did in the public houses where they would get their news and they get what was happening in the world.
It's an experience, isn't it, Ron? I mean, that's what it is. I mean, when you
we
go
try
to
make
kilt.
That. We try to provide the best part of our guest day when they come in. They may have sat in front of their computer all day in a four-walled office
yeah.
and you know, if we have the cute servers, don't make no mistake about that. But you
right.
know, they smile, they make the connection with that individual, and if you know we can make our customer smile, we've earned our money.
And they, you know, on the episodes, I mean, the servers, I mean, they really had great personalities, didn't they? And I'm sure that's what your franchise business owners hire for, don't they?
You know, we do, and we have a hiring program we call it an audition, and we
yeah.
come in, and we will say, okay, we're going to role play a little bit.
Right.
And we'll say, I'm the customer, and I give that international sign. I've raised my head. I look left. I look right, and that's the international sign in the restaurant business for I need help.
Right.
And so I've done that. Now approach the table. And I really, at that point, don't care what they say. I just
right.
want to know, will they communicate with me? And
sure.
will they smile at me? If they won't smile at me during the audition, they won't smile at our guests.
True. True. That's well said. What do you like, when you go into, you know, a Tilted Kilt, and you see a lot of them, Ron, I mean, what do you like to get? I mean, do you have a favorite when you go into your own restaurants?
Well, by far and away, our burgers are just tremendous. I mean,
really?
It makes up 23% of ours. We pride ourselves on top quality meat, fantastic burger. But we have fish and chips, and then we have that flavor from the Celtic world, you know, the Gaelic chicken with its two chicken breasts on a bed of potatoes with whiskey cream sauce, shepherd's pie, fish and chips. We have all of that, but still burgers, wings, still by far and away our best sellers.
That's fantastic. It's so hard to talk about it before lunch, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's How about the industry, Ron? I mean, you're in it. How would you classify? I mean, the industry as far as are there any numbers for your industry? I mean, it's a pretty big industry, isn't it?
You know, well, of course, we consider ourselves in the entertainment business.
Okay.
And I know a lot of the media has picked up on this word restaurant, which refers to concepts that have sexily dressed servers.
Right.
And mostly female, although we have great-looking guy bartenders, too.
Sure.
But they've kind of lumped us in that category. Here at our office and our concept, we really don't like that word. We think it's a derogatory word toward our female employees.
Right, right.
And we refer to it as the entertainment business. And, you know, the entertainment business is huge and getting bigger all the time because people are expecting more for their money when they come in. They expect to be entertained at a certain level. And whether it be the fine dining chef in the back, you know, to our big screens all over the place, funny limericks on the wall and cute servers. So in some degree, some form or fashion, in each concept, they're expecting some kind of level of entertainment.
Sure, absolutely. Maybe we could jump to the franchisees. I mean, what types of characteristics do you look for in your franchise business owners, Ron?
You know, and that's kind of evolved over a period of, well, we're in our 10th year now. And,
wow.
You know, in the beginning, we look for restaurant experience.
Right.
We look for capital. We just a core business experience even.
Right.
And, you know, which everybody's worked for, looking for. But we've actually provided or looking for another level in ours, and that's a fun personal attitude about the person. Is the franchisee have fun about them? In other words, are they willing to let their hair down and have a little fun with their employees? And because we're hiring really, really young people.
Right.
Some of them, it's even their first job.
Right.
And we've got to be, and they've got to look like they do and fit in our costume. And we've got to be the employer of choice for that person because, let's face it, a lot of people would like to have that employee. And, and so you got to be fun. You got to make it fun for the employees. And if the employees are having fun, our guests are having fun.
And that's what impressed me, and I suspect a lot of people have said this to you know when you did appear in Undercover Boss. I mean, because you're an older gentleman. I remember your wife making the joke, you know, saying that you're old enough to be their grandfather.
That was a hard one to take.
It was my wife loved that line, by the way. But see, you did such a great job, though. I thought as far as like coming in, you know, and having that, you know, you just able to identify with those younger employees. I said, wow. I mean, I thought that was fantastic how you did it. You really did a fantastic job there.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you a lot. I mean, I've had, before that with Slotsky's, you know, we have young employees there,
more
of the fast service type people, and that's an entry-level job there, too. So I've had years and years of actually dealing with young people, and guess what? It keeps me young, too. So
yeah, I guess it does.
that's a side benefit.
that's fantastic. What's the training like, then, for new franchisees? I mean, like, once you decide, you know, you like them, they like you, you know, and they want to go forward, I mean, how does the training work? Do they come out to Arizona?
We do. They do. They come out here for a five-week period of time.
Okay.
And we give them that basic core knowledge of the Tilted Kilt, and it's
right,
you know, and as I tell our new franchisees, we don't teach Restaurant 101. Mm-hmm. They're already supposed to have that when they come
okay.
in.
Okay, right.
And so we take those managers that they send us, and we teach them to be tilt-to-kilt
right.
restaurant people. And so if you were going to teach somebody the restaurant business, it could take a long time. And
sure,
and,
yeah.
And so when we do have those franchisees or people that say, I want to run this business myself, but I don't have any restaurant experience, then we usually encourage them to go to another franchisee in our business and say, why don't you work for them for a while?
I see.
And once you get a few months under your belt, then let's start. Because you'll benefit far more in this five-week period if you've got a little bit of restaurant experience under your belt. But most people that come to us do have some degree. So we don't have to worry about it that often. And then after the five-week period, we encourage them to do another opening with us.
Right.
You know, running a restaurant and opening a restaurant are two different things. It's almost mm-hmm. two different skill sets.
Right.
And, I mean, when you're opening a restaurant, it's just chaos everywhere.
Right.
You're having to establish it, policies, procedures,
yeah.
put in new equipment and stock your freezer and hire people. And so we encourage them to go on two training openings with us. And then once they've done that and they're ready to open their store, it's all built out, then we send a crew out of 5 to 7 people
right.
that will actually open their store with us. And it's actually the process of finishing training those new tilt-a-kilt restaurant managers those last 2 weeks, 1 week before they're open and 1 week after they're open.
That's fantastic. You obviously, you know, in studying your background, you are an entrepreneur. I mean, you're able to spot an opportunity. What advice would you give to our listeners? We call them aspiring franchisepreneurs. I mean, most of our listeners have it in their mind that they want to get into franchising specifically. So what advice would you give to them in their quest to buy a franchise?
You know, I would say have an affinity to what you're doing. In other
mm-hmm.
words, if you're a real fitness person, then maybe look for something in that line.
Right.
But it's not, we all eat.
Sure.
And sometimes I have the feeling that people come to us and they think, well, I eat, therefore I know the restaurant business.
Right.
And, you know, and they've never worked in it. And
right.
I would say, know it clearly if you have an affinity for that business.
Yeah.
Go in eyes wide open. Don't just realize that at first you're going to be very enamored with the franchise. They're
mm-hmm.
doing very well. They're growing. They got great volume, and so you want to be a part of that.
Right.
But really go in eyes wide open and really make a serious evaluation. Not only just the franchise system that you're thinking about going in, but am I a fit for it? Am I willing to work and do what it takes in the restaurant? But do I like the restaurant business?
Right.
You know, and then, of course, the basic things like, and particularly in the restaurant business, don't ever go in undercapitalized in the restaurant business.
Yeah.
And don't ever, ever shortcut your training. Whatever franchise system you go into, if they say it takes 5 weeks, then do 7 weeks. You know,
right, I see.
It's so important. I hear it so many times where they'll say, well, Ron, you don't understand. I've been in the restaurant business for as long as you have. And I go, yeah, but you know what? You haven't been in the tilt-a-kilt restaurant business.
Right,
and
exactly.
So they immediately start wanting to save time and shortcut their training. Don't do that. You're undermining your own success.
I got the impression too, you know, that the tilt-a-kilt the culture is a family atmosphere. I mean, you know, even yourself. I mean, you have a lot of your family directly working in the company, which I thought was fantastic, by the way. But I mean, what's that like for you? I mean, working with your family, and it seems like your franchisees have become your family as well.
It is, and I get emails every day from our managers or servers that have gone on to do other things.
Yeah.
You know, that they've You know, and like I said, so many of them are young. They're college age. They're young moms with kids maybe and trying to work their way through school and raise a family. All different situations, but the common thread is they're pretty young. And I'd say most of them are going to school. And it's really gratifying when you get that email and it says, I just graduated from nursing school. I just got one actually 2 days ago from broadcast journalism, and she had been hired by a local network that was, you know, she was so excited. And
wow.
So you see them moving on and doing great, great things, and that's really fun, knowing that when they came to you, they really didn't know how to work. It was
right.
Their first job. They didn't really have a feel for what the world was going to be living out from under their parents' roof. And so that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and that's the gratification for you, I guess, as well, you know, in addition to the success of the Tilted Kilt, you know, which I think is fantastic. What are, I can ask you, because you're the president of the company, I mean, what are the plans for the future, Ron? I mean, if you can look, you know, 3 to 5 years down the road, where do you see the Tilted Kilt?
Well, our goals are we have 200 pubs by 2017.
Wow.
We have 30, in addition, we have 30 international pubs by 2017. Now, we've been in Canada. When I say international, I mean out of North America. We've had Canadian pubs for quite a while. But we just signed our first licensing agreement in Spain.
Wow.
And so we're getting a foothold in Europe. And then because you know what? You know, you've mentioned the Undercover Boss. They play that show all over the world. I didn't realize it at the time when I made the show.
That's amazing.
And,
so you can be walking in Spain and someone recognizes you.
Well, Eva Grandoli, who is the head of this company that we're partnering with in Spain, she saw us first at the International Expo, and then she saw me on Undercover Boss. And she goes, and Eva goes, oh, Mr. Lynch, you had the perfect Spanish accent. And, of course, they had dubbed my voice. And when I was in Spain 2 weeks ago, they played it for me, and he has this really deep, nice, rich voice. I said, I'd die for that kind of voice.
That's fantastic, isn't it? That's great. Oh, that is something. That's a great story. It really is fantastic. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on becoming a franchisee, Ron? Any websites that you'd like them to go to?
Yeah, go to the Tilted Kilt website and just put in, you know, www.tiltedkilt.com.
Okay.
And they can call into our office right here, and I would encourage them to do that, 480-456-5458.
That's fantastic. I want to thank you again for coming on the show, Ron. It's such a privilege. I feel like, I guess you get this a lot now, I feel like I know you before I even spoke to you today, you know what I mean? Because I've seen the episode about 4 times now up to this point, you know. So, again, it's a privilege for me to have you on the show and to be able to speak with you. It's
well,
wonderful.
Thank you.
And you have a great day, Ron. We'll be right back with more franchise interviews. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next week with another edition of Franchise Interviews. Take care, everyone.